Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. So if you go to mobiestrippress.com and reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can get a lot of really good information so that you can understand exactly what Republic Review or auditing the Constitution will do and the process of how to do that. There's even a model for you to look at that. This is the only show on air anywhere that actually postulates a real tangible solution in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution so that we're finally living within the rule of law. And the reasons why you want to download the podcast on reclaimingtherepublic.org is just that one reason right there, because this is the only show with a constitutional solution in dealing with the federal government overreach. The second reason would be the content on this show will refer to previous shows, and so you really want to keep abreast with the context and content of what I am talking about in referencing and so forth. And so that's why you need to be kind of abreast with all of the podcasts. Bear in mind, for the third reason, the content on the show is not perishable nor temporary. The topics and the discussions that I have and the interviews like I have today will educate you, and they will actually span the test of time because they are relevant throughout time instead of, you know, the tragedy that happened today that could have been helped or avoided. Anyway, I'm just trying to hurry through this stuff because I've got a two segments that I'm bringing in a special guest. And so I will be having some crowdfunding coming up. I've kind of set the goal to have this ready by Monday next week. So I really have to start focusing. And I totally forgot that I had this goal because my life is on auto interrupt. And therefore, I really need to get this set up and moving. With that, I hope that you consider passing the information on, helping support this show. Not the money that you're going to be giving will not really be going into any of the shows itself. It'll actually go into the advertising of what we want to do in the rodeos. So when you listen to the promos, those rodeos I'm talking about with Trevor Lawden, Tom DeWeese, and others, I am looking to get the funding so that we can get the necessary advertising for two things. One is to help bring in money to get this going, to get the venue and so forth. And the other reason is to have money for advertising the event within the states we're doing these rodeos, because we're looking for a David to stand up. I typically put it out there that I'd love to have somebody call for religious freedom, but because we're kind of on a tight schedule today, if you want to call, it's the very last segment that'll be open unless you call right now, but I've got so much to cover that I apologize, I won't be able to get into it. But I can look over my shoulder. There is no sign of the federal government dismantling any of its unconstitutional powers, so let's move on. I do have a nagging problem, but I will get into that tomorrow. This week, I had a pleasure of interviewing Aline Lindstrand, and she is election observer in Washington State. And I think you need to understand how this impropriety affects the Republic, such as the Electoral College. This is why I feel this is very important to air this at a national forum. And this, of course, the podcast will be up as soon as the show is done or shortly thereafter. It'll be done tonight, at least. Washington, just so you know, I want you to be fully educated on this. Washington and a few other states use mail-in ballots. They don't have polling places. They don't have a place where you can go. Now, they do offer provisional, but every single registered voter in Washington actually gets a ballot mailed to them. And oh, by the way, these ballots are forwarded so that if you're really not a resident anymore, it's still sent out to all of these different people that may be in Arizona now or snowbirds or what have you. And so they have no checks in place as to who gets registered, by the way. And so you can understand what a problem this is, as you will probably hear, or at least I have learned, that we have almost 500,000, if not more, illegal aliens registered in the state of Washington to vote. And I would ask you to, you know, if you start looking at what the ramifications that can do and where those illegal aliens are registered, because there's not a lot of illegal aliens that can afford to live in the King County, Pierce County, and Snohomish counties. That's the Seattle area, Seattle, Tacoma, Olympia. So where are these illegal aliens? They're probably on the eastern side. And I believe that the people who are doing this kind of understand that they're taking away I'll call it the very conservative votes over on the eastern side, and they're slowly watering it down. This is a pretty maniacal plan, and I can't believe that this was just something that was concocted at the spur of the moment type of thing. And so there are other states that are considering this, and this is why you need to be very aware of this. And I'm going to be championing that the federal government actually makes mailing ballots or doing this balloting by mail illegal, because there's just so many problems, and you're going to hear about this. I've already talked about the balloting forwarding. However, in the counting process, it is very cloaked with a variety of ways so that one can commit fraud. And in talking to Aline, you'll actually hear, you know, some of the processes of doing that. The handling before counting is one of the processes. The counting itself, oh, by the way, they use an algorithm as to how they're going to be counting the ballot. And so I want you to be attuned to that. An algorithm is a program as to how they count. Why do they need a program? I understand that they need a machine to be able to read and how to translate that. But I don't think you necessarily need to be loading in. And nobody has access to looking at these algorithms as far as how they work. And it's one of those things that can easily be manipulated. Duplications is a huge problem, and it is done by human beings. And the real problem that I have, as I started looking at this, and I started looking at how we have changed the society and the people who support the duplication process here in Washington, but it's not just that. It is the people who are in government. I believe we have turned this corner to where I think we can all agree that everybody has biases. Everybody has a paradigm as how they see things. And I want you to understand that there is no way people really can remove themselves. There are people that want to claim, and I think the moral majority of the conservatives may be more likely to try to be objective in what they're doing. But the left tends to be far more ideological. Not that the right isn't ideological, but because there is a lack of morals that I've been talking about for a long time, and that this country used to not even trust people that weren't Christian, if you remember my saying this. And so what we're doing is we're opening the door in allowing government to literally hire people, and the people that they tend to hire and the types of positions they get put in kind of automatically lean them to the left. And isn't that amazing? I mean, if you look at D.C., look at all the people that work in D.C. that happen to be government employees, and look at how that area votes. It's dramatic. And so you can't tell me that when you have a job, it all of a sudden becomes kind of self-promoting for you to vote and for you to be involved in promoting yourself to get up the ladder, as well as expanding your roles and so forth. And it becomes an insidious thing. And so I kind of talk about some solutions in this, but there is no way we can be unbiased anymore or truly objective. And I think that there has to be a new approach as to how we hire people that happen to be in government service. And I'll get more into this as well. But getting back to this process, challenging or auditing the election is almost impossible as you start to hear how they go through this. And I'll be diving more into this, but the federal government needs to make these processes illegal, because as you hear this interview, there's no doubt in my mind, you'll go, you got to be kidding me. Where's the transparency? Just remember, these ballots aren't marked. There's no signing on them. There is no association to whose vote those are. And so, but they're acting all secret that you're not supposed to see them. You'll hear this all as it comes forth out of this interview. And I hope you find this interesting and informative so that you can help stop this from progressing around the Republic and help us get this out of the Republic altogether. We'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy this, and I'll be back in the last segment if you want to call. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite In the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you.
Okay, so we are back, and let me get this right, because I'm so bad at doing this, and as a matter of fact, Brad will probably attest, I am terrible with names. So is it Aileen or Aileen?
My name is Aileen,
but
my husband calls me Aileen.
Aileen.
The people that call me Aileen, I'm like, not today, I feel okay.
You feel okay. But it's Aileen.
It is Aileen. I was named for my father, Al.
Okay, then I'll run with that. Now that I know the background, it's easier for me to remember. And it's more important. Anyway, I've asked you to come in. And folks, we're talking to an expert that understands the election process or what goes behind the scenes in getting your ballots counted and what basically ultimately dictates who is going to win or what referendums and measures on the ballot will actually be approved and not. And so one of the things that I found interesting in our first conversation was a word called algorithms. And I want to just go straight to that. Can you please explain to me what the heck is an algorithm and why are algorithms used instead of counting ballots?
Well, the algorithm is a computer program.
Well, I understand that.
Okay. Other people might not know that. But the computer program is software purchased by some company that a given election office will buy from, a company that is inserted into the computer guts, that into the machine that they purchase from a company that will be programmed. We assume, we don't know, we've never been allowed to watch, that are programmed to read our ballots based on how they are printed, you know, the lines and what goes in it, because every ballot's different.
Right.
So it has to be programmed to match what it sees and all that. So that's the algorithm. It's the algorithm, which is a computer program. And what is, that's not a bad thing. What is concerning is no one gets to see what's on it or have an independent election audit to know that that algorithm had not been altered in any way by accident or otherwise.
Right, or it could be pre-programmed to provide. It's just like somebody that writes code to create an algorithm to manage banking accounts, and literally every 27th bank account gets shaved a half a cent, and it gets deposited into somebody else's account. And so there's nothing that keeps that computer program from actually counting at whatever the algorithm is to throw one vote in a very specific direction.
It's very difficult to know, since the state of Washington has determined that a ballot. Now, there's two types of ballots we need to talk about to give it a clarity here. One is the one you get in the mail that you mail back in.
Right.
Then there's the ballot that they get that is an original ballot, but they can't. They know up front it won't be read by the algorithm, the machine program, because it's really massively wrinkled. It won't go through the machine. It'll ball it up. Or they've used glitter ink that is light technology, doesn't work.
The voter uses glitter ink.
Correct. Or they've wrinkled it. Maybe they sat on it. Maybe they ran it over in the car and oops, we'll just mail it anyway. They don't know how they're processed. And so when the election workers who are paid open them up at that stage, they see which ballots have certain kinds of markings over where the oval is. You know, the oval is what's read by the program.
Right.
Well, if they have certain markings that are odd, let me just give you an example, which is very, very strange. Pencil is supposed to work, but if it's really too shiny and reflects back, I personally was observing two elections ago, I believe, when the ballots kept, they'd run them by one on one, just one at a time, kept doing it four or five times. The machine wouldn't read it. It came back that it didn't see it. So they went and duplicated them. So what I want the people listening to know is that you don't know, if you're not careful with your ballot, if it's going to be remade onto a brand new, fresh ballot.
And so what is that process? Is that a Xerox machine?
No.
I didn't think so, because based on what I was reading, you have two people, instead of going to a Xerox machine to literally duplicate everything so that the ink that comes out is readable, mm-hmm. guaranteed, that what they do is they have another person sitting across the table, and yes. they mark the ballot, and then they verify that.
Correct.
So that goes in line with another problem that I have that we'll get to.
Well, that becomes the brand new official ballot, the one that was original that was determined.
Unreadable.
Unreadable, which it likely was for various reasons, goes into a box never to see the light of day, because Washington State law, judges, whatever, I think it's the judges, have determined that those ballots are now the new original ballot, and there's no identifying marks on a ballot, but they consider them privacy of the vote. So if we have ever had a chance to look at ballots that will be destroyed and shredded, there is no way to tie a ballot to a person, but that research would be fabulous.
Right. So do we want transparency in the voting process, or do we want privacy in the voting process?
You're not breaking privacy if you get those ballots, because there's nothing identifying who voted what.
Right, there's your name, signature, nothing is on that. But I did notice that one of your cohorts recommended that they voluntarily sign their ballot somewhere so that they could then identify and track that ballot.
I don't recommend it.
Okay.
For that very purpose, if it were ever allowed. If we ever had any common sense that ruled, that would be a perfect way to do research and or an independent election audit.
Right. The thing that I still have a problem with is that we're employing a person who could understanding, and we talked about this before, and I'll go there, understanding that everybody has levels of bias. There is no such thing as an unbiased person. Even computers are biased based on their programs. And so understanding that everybody that is stepping into this pool of employment in the elections office mm-hmm. has biases. There is a good likelihood that if you have the owner or the manager has a bias, it is called, groupthink or cultural control. In other words, when I hire people, I'm going to hire people that I believe holds my bias. And so I have a real problem with that, because the people that have the ability to change the outcome of an election are not being controlled. There's no vetting process to ensure you have an equal amount of bias for every potential. In other words, the federal government mandates, going over this again, but I think it's important. The federal government mandates equal representation of your community, and that's unconstitutional, by the way, but there is this argument that if you have so many women in the community, then your workforce should be more representative of women, should be more representative of blacks, Hispanics, whites, and so forth and so on. They want to make sure that you're not creating, a disparate representation outside of the community. And when it comes to public office, as far as I'm concerned, especially in issues of partisan nature, there has to be an equality or representation of the biases mm-hmm. so that in Spokane County, it should include the amount of biases for the Republican, Constitutional, Libertarian, and Democrat as far as employees go. That way, you welcome transparency and you invite whistleblowers.
I agree with you 100% on that. That makes sense, because I like common sense.
Right.
And I like protection, and there is none when you don't know how they are being
right.
picked to be hired.
And you're saying that the current auditor basically believes that we need to trust implicitly them.
She says it implicitly by the phrase of saying, we trust the voter, therefore. She didn't say that, but you can just see what she's thinking. It comes out, well, we trust the voter, therefore, why aren't you trusting us? You should trust us.
Right. And I know we're coming up on a hard break, and voila, clairvoyance is what the term is. Here we go. So, folks, We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Please stay tuned. This is important stuff. Thank you much.
My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
Okay, so we're back, and I'm with Ali, and thank you so much for coming in, by the way.
Thank you for inviting me. Really, I so appreciate the opportunity.
I'm bad on manners, by the way. This is Brad. Anywho, I just got so much on my mind, and it's auto-interrupt. That's how my head works. So as I was kind of going down this process, I honestly would like to see an initiative in the vetting process for hiring employees. Because I noticed also in the article you sent me that When there are duplicate ballots that need to be done, they usually hold off until there's a whole bunch. Then they hire a bunch of people to come in to do that. And what do? Do they go down to the unemployment line, or do they go down to the Democratic Party headquarters? How do they hire a bunch of people? Because I would think that they would want to make sure that, you know, there's some level of, because it's so partisan.
How they get many of the employees, because I've met many of them, I love most of the people down there. I'm friendly. I smile even when I know they can't talk back to me during work hours. But many of the people are from the county when they're having an off time, for example, and they've got some free time, they can come in and help.
They're county employees.
Yeah, some of them, not all of them.
Okay.
Because some of them are going to be on a permanent, semi-permanent list that when they need them, they're called in, versus the regular ones that are always there no matter what.
Right.
But when you have a big election, they are hiring more employees, the temps, so to speak, and some of them might be from another department.
Right. But
like the Parks Department, for example, or you know, retired teachers or something.
Right. So to be clear, this is ran by the auditor's office, which is an elected position, which
yes,
means
sir.
That my employment or my maintaining employment, because I want to make sure I get fully vested in retirement and be able to get fat off of the people, because if I only have one term, then I don't get a retirement. It's just like, oh, boy. And so it's really important that people maintain their power, their position in the election process. And I actually happen to control that process. Why would I not be trying to stack that in favor in ensuring and creating some level of guarantee that I can keep my job?
I can't answer what's in somebody's mind. You make a very good point, but I can tell you that our current auditor in Spokane County is going to be running for her 6th 4-year term.
Okay, so now give me a little history, because you gave me history before, and I think it's relevant here.
Okay.
There was an election a few years back where it was a landslide Republican win.
Yes.
And everybody that won by a very certain percentage.
High 50s and beyond.
High 50s and beyond. Mm-hmm. And the other person that was on that ballot that won was an outlier, because it was the auditor, and the auditor won by an outlier as well. Tell me about this.
When you look at spreadsheets,
yes,
and I'm not an expert at it, but I've had people that are that understand those numbers and how when you look at a spreadsheet, some of those numbers were just like popped out at you. You couldn't ignore them in precincts. We all know precincts, I hope. Precincts is where you live in a given geographical area,
right, yep.
That you have up to 1,000 or 1,200 voters, and not any bigger than that normally. And so precincts are what everything is counted by, precincts within a district. Okay, and so when you look at your own precinct, you look at, let's say, the 4th district, which is usually highly Republican, and then you look at the numbers of these major county offices, and you look at hers, it's just odd beyond belief. Or you look at certain things like in the 3rd district. Everybody thinks the 3rd district is nothing but Democrats. It is not true, but you think that based on
The outcome.
Yeah.
Yes, there we go.
Not true.
And that's very interesting, because the point is, 9 times out of 10, I believe and there should be a survey done on this, but I believe every voter votes a slate. In other words, we've become so partisan in the past probably 10, 20 years, probably because of Bill Clinton and some of those antics and so forth that really started this, I think, maybe even before that, maybe we've been partisan since Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. That being what it is, I truly believe that people vote the slate. In other words, they vote all Republican, and they'll vote all Democrat, the majority of the people. You're shaking your head no.
I am shaking my head no, because that's, you would assume that, but you've not watched Observer, duplication and all that. And how, when you watch it, I've been doing this for 9 years. What you see is not what you would expect, because depending on the election, on the off ones where you have congressional races versus a presidential every four versus the county every four, different races. Okay. We have seen people vote for very odd. It's Democrat, Republican, they'll vote for those issues. Should we repeal this? It won't add any more to it, but we've already got the tax, so let's leave it in, right? It's not a new tax. Do you want to keep that in, or do you want to go to the vote of the people and get rid of it, that kind of stuff?
Right.
It's amazing. You can't figure it out sometimes, seriously, which is why when you watch it, you can get a feel for where a race is going if you watch enough of it, which is why we recommend observers. We are not allowed to count and take tallies. We are not allowed to speak, but we do have brains. Well, and our brains function and can see what we hear and observe and gives you a feel. We're not supposed to talk about it by law, though, either, during an election.
If I'm correct, what you say, though, is that the counting is not done by a person at all.
No, the machine does all the counting.
There you go. So what you're witnessing is the outcome from the machine because you're not allowed to count.
Correct.
And so you're surprised that it's not that clear-cut slate type of voting.
We see how people are voting. The results are what they are. However, they do them with
an algorithm. Help me out. What do you mean by you see how people are voting?
Well, you can see a ballot. They used to show it to you. As an observer, you had that privilege.
Right.
They have since decided not to do that. So you have to listen hard as they're doing the duplication of who's voting and what are you observing for a candidate. There are candidate observers. There are party observers. Those are the primary two of any party.
Right.
But the law was set for the two basic ones, Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
But if you're a Green Party or an Independent Party, you certainly can bring in an observer for your candidate.
But not for your party.
Oh, yeah, you can. I'm a GOP observer.
No. So Libertarian. Can a Libertarian group send in an observer? Then okay, I'm making calls out to Randy McGlynn and Bob Peck and getting their parties to make sure that they're also providing observers in this upcoming election.
The hardest thing that is the most frustrating is for those of us who have been doing it for a long time that try to get people to come and we talk about observing and, you know, people's eyes glaze over. And we've had a number of retired military people to come in and they last maybe one election, if that long. And they're like, I can't do it anymore. And we're like, why? They say, well, the security is so bad, it makes me crazy. I can't do that. I can't sit there and watch knowing the security is what it is, which isn't enough.
Right.
So they can't come back. And then you have somebody else. I mean, it is similar to watching paint dry. I'm good at it, though. And I've made a game out of it in my mind that I focus all my other senses on something if I can't see the ballots as they turn them over anymore. But I'm listening. Sometimes I position myself that I can hear two or three people. And you're looking, if you're a candidate observer, all you're having to do is listen for that one name in the duplication process, right?
Uh-huh.
For me, I try to get a feel for it. But when I was seeing all of the ballots, people would be voting for, well, in the last election, you know, the state at the state level, all those candidates, the lands commissioner and all that. You see, of course, what you see are you seeing in this county. That's not really fair because then you got all the ballots from the other side, too. But you see how the county goes overall as a really good, like, you know, when you, a polling. It's a type of polling of what your brain sees.
Well, let me ask you this. There are lots of spots, as I understand it, that are blind to the observers, that they do not give you access, where shenanigans can easily be taken place. What and why is, or is it even possible that we institute cameras into the process? And if you actually had cameras, if, you know, watching that ballot literally go from the post office into every time that, you know, they get sealed up and then opened up again, having cameras whenever those things get opened up again and, you know, noticing that the seal is still, you know, the integrity of the seal that way. You know, because we can't complicitly trust people.
No.
We cannot.
No.
And so
why would you?
Right. Well, absolutely. Yeah. When this kind of thing is on the line, they understand it's about control and power. So We're going to be going to a hard break, so I want you to ruminate on this idea of what about introduce, because we put cameras on cops now. We're moving to Big Brother State, and with Big Brother, I got big music coming and a lot of big sponsors hopefully coming up as we go to a break. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And as I listened to that interview again, I wanted to figure out, am I coming across overly sensitive to this polarization or biases in our society? Then I want to ask you, am I really oversensitive? Do we understand the problem with the deep state? And how far does the deep state go? Obviously, we know that DC is well entrenched in the deep state. I mean, there's just so many things that are pointing to it, as well as, you know, the, like I was saying yesterday, the Republicans leaving office and so forth. The real problem is that the left or the progressive, secular progressive, the communist is an ideology of moral turpitude. They have literally no morals, and they find nothing wrong with lying, cheating, and being deceitful. Left, you know, time and time again, I remember during the Bush-Gore campaign, a guy in Wisconsin bragged he voted 9 times for Gore. And they didn't, you know, get that person's name. There were all sorts of people bragging. Even in the Judge Roy Moore case, there were people talking about they literally crossed the state line so that they could vote and basically dump Moore or make sure that Moore didn't get elected. You don't hear people bragging about that on the right, you know, voting for Bush or voting for Judge Roy Moore. There is a chasm, there's an abyss between the left and the right today, and that is because of morality. Biases of people in the election process must be equal at all times. I would rather hear about an election polling place where they're counting, breaking out into a fist fight because we're being honest and we understand what's going on and we want to make sure that the election is clean and we, you know, catching people cheating because cheating's going on. And why isn't it that we're not finding out about it? Are we this literally this blind and naive to think that, oh, they wouldn't do that? Because as she was saying, they have this, I can't come up with a good word, but it is literally, you know, this buzz or this spin that, oh, well, we trust the voter. You don't trust us. And I have a real problem with that. So we need to abandon the utopian concept that people can be impartial, especially when one understands, again, like the leftist mind model, that they really don't care. They will do anything to further their cause. And so we have to come up with processes that eliminate any type of potential fraud. And the best way to do that is getting people out of this process. So either that or you have literally at all times equal observers, equal employees of the biases just to ensure that that isn't happening. I'm telling you folks right now in the blue states or those borderline states like battleground states that kind of swing back and forth like Ohio and so forth, if it's happening here, I'm telling you it's deep entrenched across this country. So we need to institute, follow me here, we need to institute and enforce penalties that are so severe that people do not even give consideration to cheating or committing fraud. But the way it has been going, as you can tell, and a good example with the Obama administration, just over this Mueller thing, there have been all sorts of shenanigans done by the Department of Justice with Fast and Furious, and everything else was completely brushed under the rug. But now they're going after people because of tax evasions and what have you, because they have to have they have to be so far above the perception of doing wrong. I mean, even Geithner was busted for evading taxes. And so are we really this stupid to allow them to get away with this crap? I can tell you that with the Starr investigation, I have no idea why Starr did not go after Clinton for giving away secrets and doing those types of things he did instead of just going after this Monica Lewinsky perjury thing. Remember what Stalin said. It is enough that the people know there was an election. The people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything. And that there was Stalin for you. And so let me go into my little diatribe because I've got enough time. I want to get into what Madison talked about. are the words in our founding documents that I typically cite the words of deceit, or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges, and the professors, the lawyers, politicians, and bureaucrats, are these the words of deceit? Which one is deceiving us and which one has been trying to deceive us? This happens to be Madison talking about, you know, society mores and so forth in Federalist Paper number 51. And he says, but the great security against a gradual concentration of the several powers in the same department consists in giving to those who administer each department the necessary constitutional means and personal motives to resist encroachments of the others. The provision for defense must, in this, as in all other cases, be made commensurate to the danger of attack. Ambition must be made to counteract ambition. The interest of the man must be connected with the constitutional rights of the place. It must be a reflection on human nature that such devices should be necessary to control the abuses of government. But what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? Here's my favorite part. If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. A dependence on the people, no doubt, is the primary control on the government, but experience has taught mankind the necessity of auxiliary precautions. And so that's precisely why they had so many checks and balances within the government, where the states actually possess the authority over the Constitution to ensure that the federal government stays within its boundaries. Remember, I've read several times that Madison and Hamilton and others basically said the federal government needs to create barriers to keep the federal government, or not the federal government, the states need to create barriers to keep the federal government within the framework of the Constitution so that they don't encroach upon states' roles, responsibilities, and powers. However, when they formed the federal government, all the brightest and best went to the federal government, and what was left in the states failed to do that. And that is precisely why over 80%, probably ramping up on 90% of what the federal government spends and what they are doing is unconstitutional and outside the boundaries of the Constitution. So I want you to kind of understand that as we look at society, and back in Madison's time, when they were looking at the mores of society, they did not see a godless nation here in Americas. They saw a good, righteous, Christian, God-loving, God-fearing nation. I've already told you about the rules or the laws that did not allow non-Christians in good standing to even bear testimony in court. They couldn't fathom to allow anything like a atheist or a person that could not be accountable to a higher power to be able to have credit and testimony in a case or a court of law or in any case in public service. However, we have slid so far from that because we've been tolerant and allowing this creep to continually decay our morals. The problems we face as a society, as I have said, with all these school shootings, with all of these problems and these violence and outbreaks and what you see going on in Chicago, the gangs and so forth, the problem has nothing to do with guns. It has nothing to do with racism. It has everything to do with morals. It has everything to do with understanding and respecting God and those fundamental principles that this nation embraced: individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And instead, it's every man out for himself. Your rights end wherever I say they are. My rights, begin and end wherever I want them to be. And that we've become such a self-serving, selfish nation because of our morals. So I want you to think about that. We're going to be back tomorrow with more of Aline's interview. We've got two more segments to wrap this up. And I hope you find this really interesting, because to me, it's coming to you if you live in a dark red state. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much, and God bless.